Julle almal ken die sonneskool vragie. So why did Jesus die on the cross? And then we all put up our hands. We say, to forgive our sins. That's a half truth. The full truth is yes, he had to die on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. But our sins just represent the distance between us and God. So when that's taken away, his desire is just to destroy that. What if you've ever been angry and you wish you had a 10-pound hammer and an old car or something you just can smack up, okay? I remember when I was in Volgen of Jubilee, you would know, in Stellenbosch. So then from time to time, we would have these huge fires in the quad. And then people would start throwing over. They would collect like old computers from different people in the universe. They would just throw it down. But just that feeling of destroying something. I don't know, maybe it's just a boy thing, eh? Have you girls ever felt that, eh? You just want to destroy things. Eh? Mark, have you ever felt that, eh? That's it. You just want to destroy. But I feel that's what God wants, to destroy the distance between us and God. So if this represents the distance between us and God, God's like throwing his spiritual atom bombs and everything, and he's just pouring out his missiles on that area. He wants it gone. That's his desire. Just think about it. His biggest accomplishment, God, and that's why we have a whole book, whole 66 books written around this thing. His biggest accomplishment was Jesus dying on the cross, his own son. That is his biggest feat. God himself says that it's his biggest feat, that Jesus died on the cross so that we can be with God. That's the desire of God, is to be with us and to be friends with us. Okay, and we were fasting for 3 days over this past weekend. Who of you have ever fasted? Okay, Jubilee, you had to because you went on missions. Okay, who of you have ever fasted? Okay, it's just one of those stupid things that was written in the Bible. I don't know why it's in the Bible. So you have to abstain from food. And then Jesus says, yeah, no, my disciples are not going to fast, but when the bridegroom is away, they need to fast. So God's actually speaking to us and say, hey, you must fast because you're not going to live from bread alone, but you're going to live from every word that comes from my mouth. So like, we in a way forced it. But it's so amazing when you actually go and do that, because I don't have a lot of body mass and fat to burn away during a fast. So it was really difficult for 3 days just to drink water. But it was also actually very amazing just to say, okay, God, it is very counterintuitive not to eat. So I was thinking of this strategy, and I felt God giving me this strategy. Every time I drink water, I just say, hey, I'm just drinking, I'm filling myself with the living water. I'm just filling myself with God. And it becomes a substance in my stomach so that I don't feel hungry. It didn't really work all the time. But it was amazing afterwards just to see how much I grew during a period of 3 days. Because every time I was hungry, I just said to myself, I felt like it's the cue just to spend time with God. Every time I had a hunger pain, I just felt, okay, I need to spend time with God. I went through the book of John. I was just praying. I was praying in the Spirit. I was just praying with my wife, with Cornell. I was just amazing to be with God. And then during the fast, God gave us as a community. So we all came together last Friday night and we worshiped, and it was amazing. And Saturday morning we went out to the mountains and prayed there and all different spots in George. And we just declared that God's going to come and he's going to wash away the sins of George, and he's going to encounter people, and people are going to feel loved, and they're just going to have supernatural visitations of angels, and people just celebrating who Jesus was. That's literally what we did. You know, that can happen. You know, it has happened before. You know, angels exist, actually. Before we go to bed, my little daughter and I, we pray and we say, angel, leave us a feather, because we want to see a feather in the morning. So there was a feather lying around in the house the other day. So I'm like, Ivai, is the angel fear here? And just, yeah, Bob, Eckler. So we were like, okay. But there's a whole different realm that we can't see. Okay, so we were doing that, but one of the things that came out was this. We shouldn't settle for a level of relationship that is lower than what He, God, intended us for us. Like so many of us, and that's what I think what Eric's word also, he said we are passive. We are not pursuing relationship. We're like that guy in high school. I remember my brother, I'm one of a twin, he had all the amazing, beautiful girls were after him, but he never knew it. Like this was one girl, everybody loved her, everybody fell in love with her. And after high school, we realized that she was in love with him for a year. And we're like, dude. And I think we many times, like my brother, we're like, we have this amazing God pursuing us and He wants relationship with us. But we'd never make the time actually just to be with Him and to let Him love us, because we're so infatuated with our own insecurities, with our own problems, with our own nonsense, with our own sins, that we forget to actually enjoy the beauty of who God is. And He is pursuing us like wild. My wife batted me for a year. Like, I pursued my wife. I wrote her letters, I wrote her poems, I gave her flowers, I worked through the friends and her friends, and for a year, like, I pursued her. But no, God, He does that in a greater measure, and He's still doing it. He's daily pursuing us, and He's just waiting for us to say, okay, I'm going to get over myself, I'm going to surrender all, and see the beauty of this God, this amazing awesomeness. It's difficult to think of, as a man, think of his God is beautiful, so I must be attracted to God. It's just weird. But just think of, you have the best friend and he's just pursuing you. He's a celebrity. He knows he has all the financial resources to take you to Mauritius every weekend. I don't know. But in spiritual terms, that's actually true. God has all the resources in the world and He's pursuing you. He's coming after you the whole time. Some of us just don't respond. We settle for a level of relationship that is less than what He intended us for us. So I'm just going to read what I write down here. It's His desire is not to keep us at arm's length, but to embrace us as a father. His desire is never to keep us there at a distance. Even if you feel like you are the worst sinner on this planet, God's always just coming closer. He's coming closer. When Nicholas, my middle son, when he does something wrong, he walks into the house like this. I'm like, Nicholas, look me in the eye. Look me in the eye. Because he fears intimacy. He fears intimacy whenever he feels that he has done something wrong. And that's what you call shame. But now, Jesus wants to destroy that. I'm like, hey, look me in the eye. And the moment he raises his head, I'm like, that's not who you are. You're not that oukie with the yellow kombuis full milk gegooid. You're not that guy. I know you're not that guy. Probably going to do it tomorrow again, but I know you're not that guy. But that's what God wants to do to us. But so I'm like, we're like, oh, I'm so dirty. I'm so filthy. Condemnation. I'm just... and. By doing that, you actually I'm so humble because I focus on my sins. No, you're full of pride. That's what you do. You just don't want to be vulnerable before God. And God says, stop that. Because I want to remove. I want to bring you in. I want to bring you in like that. I want to make you awkward with my love. Luke, Monica's husband, he has this awkward thing that he does. He would hug me and then he would kiss me. I think it's just a picture of who God is. He says, "Amo, I love you. I love you so." Just makes me awkward. But that's what God wants to do. Okay, so that's no. Nor is it to have an army. That's His plan is not to have an army of just obedient, driven slaves. So there's a commander, and he gives commands, and we just boom, 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 boom. No. He wants an army of lovers, captivated by His presence, and laboring, like working from a place of friendship with God. This is what God said to us over the weekend. Okay. And I love it when God speaks, you actually have to listen. So we're going to do that. This morning I told everybody in the congregation, we're going to do this. We're going to absolutely go for this. Because we want to make our dad proud. We want to make our dad famous in this town. Okay. So you guys just signed up for that class. Okay. We're going to make our dad famous in this town. And now some of you are already thinking, yes, I'm making him more. I'm not giving him a good reputation. But that's also just the devil lying to you right now. Okay, some of you thought that. Okay. God wants you to make him famous. Okay. Okay, let's read scripture because we're in the church, so we need to. Okay. John 15. I'm just going to read a whole portion and then we're going to look at four verses. It says, John 15, 1, it says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener." It's Jesus speaking. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." God loves fruit. He loves it. And he wants to help us to bear fruit. All of us here sitting here, we want to be significant. It just means we want to bear fruit. Okay, he does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. "You are already clean." So he speaks to his son. "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I also remain in you. Now, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches." Branches. "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Again, God wants us to bear fruit. And that brings glory to him. Verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you." Just imagine this. So God, he is joyful. Jesus is really joyful. He says, "I want my joy to be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Wow. That's God's desire right there, just to say, "Hey, you're my friend. And I want to make known everything about my Father's business to you so that you can participate. My idea is not that I do all the work and you just blindly follow. No, I want you to have inside info on what I'm doing. Because I want you to participate. I want you to co-labor. I want you to form a partnership with me. I want you to be my friend." Okay, let's look at John 7, 15, 7 and 8. If you have ever ate a chicken and you get that wishbone, if you know the wishbone, okay? Okay, so what do? You pull it with somebody, and then the guy who gets the bottom part, he can wish something. So we had this thing in our family that if you do that and you get the bottom part, then you wish this wish. You say, I wish that all my wishes come true. Because it's the most amazing wish to, because all your wishes then comes true. Huh? Obviously that's true. Okay, but anyway, this scripture is that little wishbone. It's almost too good to be true. But that's just our Father's heart. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Anyway, Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to be so connected with me that you hear my voice, but also that you feel that you can share your desires, those things that you wish for with me. And I want to make them come true. Why? Because I want to see you bear fruit, because that will glorify me. If there's a bunch of Christians in this town and they're just bearing fruit, it's just massive fruit. All that you just see, wow, there's a Christian, he's walking with it. Just that guy has so much fruit in his life. It's not only by, it's not only like holiness, I can pray so beautifully. No, it's by making money to support the poor. No, it's by having great relationships. It's by having good jokes in your repertoire. And by playing good rugby or doing your sport excellent or just loving people, just being a great guy. That is part of bearing fruit. There's something in you that's there. It's in a seed form and God wants it to bear fruit. Why? Because he wants to be glorified by that. So, and then it gives us, how can we, it gives us actually the strategy on how to bear fruit. He says two things in verse 7. Stay in me and let my words remain in you. Stay in me, that's, you know what stay in me means? Just spending time with God. Just saying, Jesus, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to make you my first priority. The highest priority in my life is to please you. I'm not going to be fearful of what people will think. I'm just going to be, Jesus, I want to please you. And the second one is your words, is hearing what God says, whether it's through the word or with somebody preaching or during worship or during your quiet time, and you have a word and God says, hey, Amo, you must love your wife more. And I'm like, oh, I must love my wife more. And I go and do that. The words of God remain in me by actually me doing that. And then you can ask anything. And he will give it to you. And we will bear much fruit. That's the intro. Let's go to John 15, 14 and 15. So you guys get this idea that God actually wants us to bear fruit. And this will only come from a friendship with God. You will only bear fruit if you understand this highest calling of every Christian. The highest calling of every Christian is not to have a mic and massive speakers to preach the gospel. No, the highest calling of every Christian is to be a friend of God. That the devil will come, hey God, can I take out Mark? No. Or yes, try it. He's my friend. See who's going to come second. That's being a friend of God. My dad says, my dad is a dominie and he drives out demons. You know, demons exist. So he says somebody phones him from Paul. He lives in close to Worcester, a small town called Rawsonville, where I grew up. The main street is like 800 meters long. Somebody calls him from Paul and says, "Hey, Andre, a demon just told me that he knows you. He knows you, and he's afraid of you." That means my dad's so connected with God that, because the demon is not afraid of people, he's afraid of God, that he's so connected with God that the demon actually sees God in my dad, and he's afraid of what he represents, because he knows he's just so connected to the vine. We can get to that place. Okay, Quentin, just a little illustration here. Can you go in the gong? Okay, Quentin is like Jesus, eh? His hairstyle, anyway, is like Jesus' hairstyle. Okay. So this is what happens when we're really connected, when we come into a friendship relationship with Jesus. Many times we think it's Jesus telling us, hey, Omo, go and do that. If you're not going to do that, hey, watch out. Hey, if you're not going to do that, watch out. No. That's not how friendship with God works. So there's a mutual friend. And Quentin comes to me and he starts loving me and he spends time with me. And I spend time with him and I get to know his heart. I get to know his heart. And then Quentin tells me, Amo, come along. And what he does is he goes like this. Takes me around shoulders. And we go. Yeah. And we walk and he says, hey, let's have some fun. Let's give the devil a hard time. So he's like, Amo, it gives me more pleasure if you tell the devil what he must do than when I tell. Because I've already conquered him on the cross. So tell me what I should do to the devil. Okay, I'll drive him out. Okay. So now I'm like, hey, devil, look at me. Look at me, devil. In the name of Jesus, out of this town. Go away. And the devil's not afraid of me. He's not afraid of me, but he's afraid of this guy standing in front of me, my friend. And you, if you're with Jesus, it's a stupid illustration, I know. Sorry. But there's so much security in just knowing God and knowing who God is. In Romans 8, you can go and say, Romans 8, Paul says, if God is for you, who can be against you? I love that. Okay, let's read John 15, verse 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. God's idea is not to have us just as servants, as slaves. He never intended, but he intended for us to be friends. Who of you know the band The Arrows? Have you ever heard of The Arrows? And 5M, cool band. We had them in Stellenbosch, and half of the church ran out of the church the first time they arrived because they're just so wild. But the next time, our pastor had to stand in front. Hey, guys, these people are actually two girls. They're actually a blessing because this girl wears like a full suit leopard skin leotard the first time they arrived there. For Afrikaans people in Stellenbosch, even for students, this is weird, eh? And then she starts worshiping with that thing on. And people just ran out. And then the next time we invited her back and we really felt that's what God is leading us into, just infiltrating, because that's how the clubs, they play in all the clubs in Cape Town and in Durban, and they're on 5M. We need to get there. So came back, and the pastor said, hey, we were bad hosts the last time. We're going to remain, and we're actually going to enjoy it. You have to enjoy this. And it was so much fun. We invited them again for the next year. But anyway. This is a song. They sing the song. It's called No Robots. It says this. I can't decide if you are crazy, talking about God, or just really, really brave. You make us all the same, all able to choose our private fate. Oh, it's poetry, it is genius. You don't want robots, you want our love. So you let us carry on like this. You don't want robots, you want our love. Oh, when we blame you and we call your names, but you don't want robots, you want our love. That's God's desire, is not to have robots, everybody looking the same, acting the same. No, he wants us to be lovers of him, to be friends with him. So verse 14, it says there, you are my friends if you do what I command. Okay, speak to the person next to you. What do you hear? What do you hear? Just take that verse, and what do you hear? What is Jesus saying there? Just take that one verse. You are my friends if you do what I command. Speak to the person next to you. You are welcome, you mag met your sister praat, hoor. Lekker man Afrikaans ook praat, as jy bang is. Okay, let's get some feedback. Okay, Rebecca.
Well, I thought it's almost like it contradicts itself a little bit, because friends usually don't have like this commanding relationship, yeah. So I didn't quite know.
You say it's contradictory. You say the Bible is contradictory. That is. Okay, anyone else? Jubilee, what do you say? Iemand nog iemand? Okay, the reason why I asked you, because it's a little contradictory, but now if you read it in context, and I feel it's actually a very important point that Jesus is making. He says, you're my friends if you do what I command. Let me tell you a story. So last Sunday, I feel God telling me in the morning service, I must say there's somebody here that had a motorcycle accident when he was a teenager, and he has anxiety or depression, a spirit of death on him because of that. So I do that. I'm like, hey everybody, I have a word from the Lord. God says, there's somebody in this room. You were in a motorcycle accident when you were a teenager, and you're still struggling of anxiety attacks. Or you have depression or spirit of death. I can't remember exactly what I felt. Nobody raises their hand. I'm like, shucks, God. That was embarrassing. Okay, but hear this. So the evening I arrive at church, and as I stop here with my motor car, JH and a friend, they also stop there. So I'm still in the car, and this guy comes up to me, and we start speaking. The car is still running. We just start speaking. He says, and he starts telling his story. He says, oh, hey, I was in a motorcycle accident when I was a teenager, and I have to drink these pills for anxiety. I've lost vision of my one eye. I'm like, yo, okay. So maybe I missed it for the morning service, but this is just too freaky not to be from God, that I arrive at church in the evening and there's this guy that I felt God described to me in the morning service greeting me. I don't know him from anywhere. He just popped in. He didn't even come to the service in the end. He just popped in because he's a friend of J.H. So I could pray for him. I'm like, God bless him. I prayed for healing in his eye. Didn't happen. That will still happen in this town. I believe that. Okay, so what happened to me? It's the morning service. I'm like, I feel I hear God, and I'm just obedient. I'm just doing what he commanded me to do. I feel like I just speak the word, and it didn't happen. I feel, God, what did you do? Obviously, you can never be wrong, so I'm obviously wrong. And then the evening comes, and I meet this guy, and this is actually the guy that I feel God described to me. What happened to me at that very moment? What happened was that, wow, I changed. I changed. I feel like, wow, I am a friend. of God. God is actually speaking to me by acting on what God spoke to me, by being obedient. I experienced friendship with God. And that's what I feel God is saying there. He's saying, if you hear my voice and you're just trusting me, even if it's something very small that God is telling you to do, you're going to experience friendship with God. Do you guys get that? And some of you, God just speaking to you, hey, you must get baptized. Some of you, God just speaking to you, hey, go to your mom and honor her. Some of you just need to make up your bed. Some of you need to tell that person that you're actually a Christian now and you're not going to go out with them anymore. Some of you actually need to say, hey, I forgive you. I forgive you, Dad. I forgive you, Uncle. I forgive you. I forgive you because God has already spoken to you. And when you do that, when you act on His command, you actually experience friendship with God, because then it just feels like, wow, so God was actually so intriguingly involved in this thing. He had this whole thing covered. He is my friend. So obedience opens the door. It's an invitation to friendship with God. And a slave will hear, when we talk about obedience, a slave, somebody that has a slave mentality. In other words, you're thinking God's always wanting more of you. He wants, He's all these rules, and He wants you to act according to those rules. You will just hear, okay, yes, here we go again. I need to do this, and I need to give up this, and I need to do this. But when the moment when you come like, yes, God, I just know that you died on the cross for me, for me, for me, you died for me, yes, for everyone else, but you died for me, and you're loving me, you love me, you want to save me, you want to set me free, you want to clean me, you want to get me to a place where I'm bold and can speak to people, where I have confidence, where I know where I'm at. When you're in that spot, you hear, wow, I'm just going to do what God says, because the moment I do it, when I'm obedient, I'm actually changing. You don't do it. You're not doing anything to God. God doesn't change when you're obedient. Yes, He can trust you more, and He will give you better and greater assignments. But you are actually changing, and you are entering into a friendship with God. Because now I'm like, yes, I'm going to, whenever I hear that voice again, I'm just going to go for it. Because God's my friend, and He has my back. That's what we want. Like, then on Tuesday, what happened was, I'm like, hey, there's a voice again. God's telling me, these people sitting in my living room, they've been involved in prison ministry, and I must tell them God still wants to expand their ministry, and God wants to take it to different towns. They don't actually have a car, but God's going to take it to different towns. They're going to travel. So I hear this, I'm like, hey, have you ever been involved in prison ministry? What's the odds? Yes, we've been involved in prison ministry. So now I'm just being obedient to that. Another thing again, I'm like, yeah, God really has me covered. I'm a friend of God. Then I go for my wisdom teeth removal, and then Joachim and Jubilee's mom is there. I walk there, I'm like, hey, I know you from somewhere. Yes, she said yes. She visited our church with Jubilee. She said, hey, she had a dream about me last night or in the week. She had a dream about me the previous night. I'm like, wow. There's so many amazing things happen. If you just start acting and being obedient to that thing in God, you just actually feel like a friend. Because many times the problem is not that God doesn't want to be our friend. It's just us. It's us. Okay, so here's the end. 4 questions. The first one is a very straight question. Would Jesus call you a good friend? Just answer that in your own words. Would Jesus call you a good friend? And you can actually answer that. You can answer that yes. I would say Jesus would call me a good friend. I can be a better friend, but I'm a good friend of Jesus. I know my wife's a good friend of Jesus, because God tells me that. You better listen to her. She's a good friend of mine. Okay, would Jesus call you a good friend? Are you only using him to get into heaven? Or are you actually pursuing relationship with him? Okay, that's the first question. The second one is, what's the one thing that God actually telling me to be obedient to? Is it, maybe there's something God has been speaking to you and you're like, just, I'm just going to pass that, or I've read the word, or somebody have told you, da, da, da. You're just like, nah, I'm not going to do that, that's too radical, or I'm not going to do that. What's the one thing? There's always something that we can be obedient to. Some of you need to get baptized. Some of you need to get just right with your parents or a friend. Just go and do that. You just read the word. I'm like, if you read the word, you're like, ah. Oh. So Jesus is actually saying, I'm to love my enemies, pray for my enemies. Oh, I need to be obedient to this. It's difficult. Okay. Third one is, what suppresses? Wat onderdruk jou vriendskap met Jesus? Wat keer jou? What suppresses your friendship with Jesus? Is it because you're afraid of what people will think? Is it because you're lazy? That's a big one. My biggest one. I'm lazy. And then last one, what can I do to stir others' appetite for friendship with Jesus? Some of you sitting here, you have keys to other people's lives, but you're so afraid of what people will think, you're not sharing it. I've counseled many people that struggled with homosexuality. And they would come to me and they get delivered, actually set free, and God delivers them. They get married. And then I just so wish for them. And then some actually do. I wish for them just to maybe take the mic one Sunday and say, hey guys, this is where I've been through. Because what do? You say, hey, I struggled with homosexuality. I thought I was homosexual. This is what happened to me when I was young. Da-da-da, da-da-da. This is how God got me through this whole thing. This is where I'm at now. I just want to say that God created me as a heterosexual man, and I'm loving my wife. I want people to say that. Because what are you doing? You take a key and you're unlocking people. Wow, I can get to that place. I'm struggling with that. I can get to that place. People are so afraid of sharing their stories. That's why if you've been here for 2 weeks, you would have heard that I was enslaved to pornography. But I'm free. I'm free. Because I know it's a key for someone. Daar was 'n dominee, hy was verslaaf aan pornografie en die Here het hom vrygemaak. Yes, God can probably help me also. That's what I want. That's where we can get to. But we're so infatuated with who we are and what people think. Just go for it. I've written an article to the newspaper, the George Herald, telling them that I was enslaved to pornography. So I was walking past a coffee shop, and there was this guy reading this article. I'm like, what? It's a bit weird. Let's work on it. But there's so much freedom in being a friend of Jesus. He lets everything work for the good, for those who are called to, for his purposes and love. Loved by him. As though I snork. Okay. As you die ding oorwin het, dan kan jy eendag kom vertel. Daar's 'n paar ander mense wat ook so snork. Okay. Okay, let's stand. Okay, close your eyes. Nobody's allowed to look. I see those eyes, Sally. Close your eyes. Okay. So just between you and God, and obviously I can see you. If you feel that God is telling you that you need to become a friend of Jesus for the first time, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. You can lower your hand again. Your hands again. Okay. Second group of people. If you feel that God is really just desiring more of a friendship with you, but you're not allowing him because you're afraid of what people think, you're afraid of how that's going to influence your comfort zone or how it's going to influence your life. You're just afraid. There's so much fear for this intimacy thing because of what happened to you in your past, your relationship with your dad, I don't know what. But God's calling you to friendship, and you just feel that you need to make it stand tonight because you want to be a better friend to Jesus. I want you to raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can lower them again. Okay, great. You can open your eyes. Okay. It's great having the mic. Okay, all of you that responded, I want you to stand here in front. A couple of you guys that responded. Come, you're friends of Jesus. Jesus is backing you. So Mark, if the facilitators, Monica, Celine, JH, Francois, you're long for it. Okay, just stand. You're like in the other stand here. Okay, stand a bit further into the elevator. Okay, great. Quentin, come stand here with the girls, man. Come on. Okay, cool. Okay, we're just going to do a very bold thing. Okay, I'm quickly going to send the mic around. And you're just going to say... Okay, it's not... It's all you're gonna say. You can do one sentence. The reason why I want to do it, if we say it out loud, how did God create the world? He spoke it into being. Okay, how did I tell my wife I love her? Did I think it? Yes, I thought it a lot. Did I dream it? Yes, but I actually. The moment that made the real difference was actually speaking it. Okay. So I'm gonna put the mic in front of you. I know it's very intimidating. Okay. And all you're gonna do is you're just gonna say, why are you in front? Okay. Just in one sentence. Verstaanela. So, hey, I really want to be a better friend of Jesus. Or I want to be a better friend of Jesus for the first time. Or I just want to get rid of my fear of man, okay? And then we're going to pray for you. Is that great? Nikma is reg. You like an Afrikaans ek doen, you do Engels probably. Okay. Noah, you must speak Afrikaans, by the way. Noah. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to be much closer to God, and I want him permanently next to me and permanently in front of me. I want to hide behind him permanently, if I can put it that way.
Yes. En julle mag almal hande klap as hulle iets sê.
Hi, ek wil meer intiem met die Here wees en op omgee wat mense van dink. Met my verhouding met die Here om dit uit te leef.
Sure.
Ja.
Okay, wow.
Ek wil net 'n beter vriend wees vir Jesus, net nader kom aan hom en my bekommernis weg hê.
Ek wil net 'n beter vriend wees en oppa bang wees wat mense rondom my dink daarvan.
Yay, okay, wow.
I just want to be able to share my faith with my friends and my family who are still in the world.
Sure, okay, wow.
Ek wil ook net 'n beter verhouding hê met die Here en so sy woord uitsprei en net die hele wêreld verander.
Yes!
Ek wil die Here beter leer ken, ek wil hy met my gebruik. Ek wil meer tyd maak vir die Here en om in my alledaagse lewe insluit. Meer as wat ek doen.
Just wanna continue with what God has said to me.
Afrikaans,
thank you, Jesus.
Okay, and the other reason why I felt God telling me to do this, because a lot of you actually said it, you're afraid of people. Okay, now you're not afraid of people. You actually spoke out in front of people. Okay, we're going to pray a prayer. And if you pray this prayer, you really mean in your heart, God's going to change something. Okay, so let's just pray this prayer. All of us can do it together. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to save me. Thank you, Jesus. You forgive my sins. Clean me, God, of all my sins, my past and my future sins. Jesus, I commit everything
my talents, my gifts, my future, my purpose into your hands. And I trust you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are my friend and you are inviting me to a lifelong friendship with you. God, I love you and I want to love you even more. I want to share my faith with my family, with people, with dogs, with everyone, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're just gonna pray for you here in front. And those of you who didn't come forward, I want just share with the person next to you, what is the one thing that you feel God is telling you to be obedient to? Whether it's just going out here and loving somebody or just meditating on what was preached here tonight or something God shared with you. But just make that commitment to that person sitting next to you. What are you going to take from this? Because God speaks and we need to be obedient. As we are obedient, we grow in friendship with Him. Okay, cool. Great. We love you all. And get a cup of coffee there at the back. And give Mark a hug. It's sitting there.